Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Life Chat with Viv and Vil. I am really excited, Vilma, today because this week we have one of my spiritual mentors on, and I'm excited to have her on. We've been trying to get her on for the longest, but we know how busy she gets, right, Vilma?
Yes, and I have to say it's not only your spiritual mentor, so don't just take the credit. She is my spiritual mentor as well.
I must say you ladies have been a tremendous just support and friend through the years. I'm thankful to God for you, for his work in your lives. And I'm just in awe of what God is doing in each of your lives, you know. Vivlin, you, you know, getting your certification, Vilma, your PhD. I am just so thankful to God for the women that you are.
Amen. Well, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Prayers, right?
Yes.
Yes. To God be
the
all
glory. Okay.
All amen. But Vilma, it's not about us. It's about her today. So
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So we really want to highlight Gloria today and just share with our audience. There's nothing that she haven't done, really. She's what? A radio spokesperson. She is she was a lawyer. She was there's nothing that Gloria has not tackled that she haven't been successful with. So we just want to go ahead and introduce yourself to our audience, because we're talking about how great you are. But it's not only about how great you are, but it's about the books that you've written that we're going to focus and concentrate on. One book that is called Choosing a Life of Victory. And it's such an awesome title, Choosing, that it's not that you have to make a decision to live victorious. And that's why I think that title is such a very important title. So before we jump into the book, I just want you to introduce yourself. Tell us a little about if you're married, if you're single, if you have kids. You know, introduce yourself to our audience. Go ahead, Gloria.
Well, my name is Gloria Godson. First and foremost, I am a child of the living God. I gave my life to Christ as a teenager, and I have loved him and served Jesus all my life. So if there's any credit whatsoever in anything that I have done or anything that I am, I give all the glory to Jesus Christ. If I am ever anything, it's on account of him. Yeah, I am a first generation immigrant here in the United States. And by the grace of God, God really has shown himself mighty on my behalf. I am an attorney by training, absolutely. And I am still an attorney by training, but God has given me the opportunity to diversify, to do different things. My roots are always in Christ. And, you know, that's and when I define myself, I do not define myself by a hyphen. I am not a Black, you know, Christian woman. I'm not a lawyer Christian woman. I am a Christian who is all those other things. And so I have practiced law. Yes, I have been a judge at one time, a long time ago. I have also, by the grace of God, at this time, I'm certified as a Christian counselor and a certified temperament counselor. I have the opportunity, to the glory of God, to be a broadcaster. I have a radio broadcast on Reach. I almost said TV.
Well, it's next.
Amen. But I do have a radio broadcast on Reach Gospel Radio every Saturday at 9:30. And I do have a show. It's called The Grace Talk Show on Sundays in the evening, just bringing the voice of God into daily discourse. And as Vivian and Vilma knows, my passion is in prayer, because I have never seen anything as powerful as prayer. And prayer is powerful because we have Almighty God, whose faithfulness knows no bounds. He is faithful to answer when we pray. And yes, Vivlin, I've authored several books, and I do have another one that's coming out. So God is good. He has given me the privilege to let his voice be heard. And the things that he's done in my life over the years, I'm not a public person. Normally, I do not like to be in front of the camera, but God had brought me to the places and to do things that I normally wouldn't do, all for his glory, all for his glory.
Wow. Thank you so much. where do you find the time? And I'm not sure if she did mention to our audience that she's also a mom and she has a young one at home.
That's right. I am a mom. I am a very proud mom. I'm pride, you know, it's something a word that I don't use often, but I do use that in relation to my kids. God has blessed me with tremendous children. I have two young men and my daughter who is in grade school. But yes, I am truly, thankfully, a mom.
Great, great, wonderful. And she's still smiling. You can see she's still smiling with all that. I would be like, but she is smiling and I can see the grace of God Amen. Just emanating from her.
Yes.
Wonderful.
You and me both, you are both very busy women too. I know you. And we all are. You know the wonderful thing though, I have looked through the scriptures. Jesus never really called people who were not busy. Everybody he called was busy. And in fact, when he took the talent from the one talent guy who hid his talent, you would have thought he would give it to somebody who wasn't doing anything. He turned around and gave it to the guy who had 10 talents. Mm-hmm. God is so invested in us, you know, working. And in fact, the Bible says that we will give account for every idle word. That's mm-hmm. how much God is invested in us being productive. An idle word is a non-working word. So God is going to make us accountable to put all our life, the entire, you know, every area of our lives to profit for the kingdom, particularly our words.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Mm-hmm. So let's dive into this book. We know you wrote this book in 2019 and it talked about, we just want to go into your story a little bit. You mentioned in the book about 2006, how the devil thought that he had you, and he almost threw the entire kitchen sink at you. So let's go into that. Just give a little bit about this background of why you wrote the book and what was this kitchen sink that the devil threw at you?
Well, there was a reason why I didn't put the story in this particular book, but I'm going to share this for those who want the full stories in my other book on wholeness, because that's really where the story was unpacked. Okay. When I talked about how God moved me from then to now, is a journey of wholeness and becoming whole in spirit, soul, and body. But yes, I was one of those who, when I got married, I believed that my marriage was forever. Again, I gave my life to Christ. I was not, I was a Christian basically all my life. The man I married was the man who, you know, the first man really that I got into a relationship with. And to the glory of God, we had a great marriage. We were married for 18 years. But in the last couple of years of that marriage, the enemy really attacked him in his mindset. And again, for me then, I was, you know, one of the things I've been as well that I didn't mention is a business executive in the energy industry. So I was negotiating high-powered contracts in DC. I spent several months there and the enemy attacked my ex-husband at the time. And so by the time I came back, I found that he had gone into some things that were not right. And again, I'm not going to share them here because I do respect my children. He's still the father of my children, and so I'm not going to go into the details. But bottom line, things did not go the way that it should go, and he really, in my view, departed from the Christian values of integrity that we had held on to, and that were very important to me. So the marriage really went down the tubes, if you will, the drain, and so it was a very harrowing time for me. Because all my life, I really had never considered divorce as something to be associated with me. My motto was, God hates divorce, and so do I. And I spoke out against it vociferously every opportunity that I had. But now, unfortunately, here was I in the middle of something that I never, ever imagined in all my life that I would be. Plus, I had three kids to raise all by myself just overnight. So it was a very tough time. And this, not only was I an executive in corporate America, but I was also a leader in the church. I was on the board of our church. and I was the overseer of the prayer ministry. So I didn't have much room to to grieve or to sit around and feel sorry for myself. Too many people were depending on me. So that's what the untold story in this book. But to the glory of Almighty God, I can stand here today and tell you that the God of heaven is a good God. The God of heaven is faithful to his promises. And I am a testimony that the Lord is able to take the worst things that the devil threw at us, the kitchen sink, that's what that was, Vivlin, and turn it around and use it. I am standing here, or sitting here today, a healed woman and a whole woman because of the mercy and grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. So tell us basically, how did you get from all of that, being an exec and having all this responsibility, didn't have time to, like you said, to mourn or have a pity party, but how did you get from that to living or choosing to live a victorious life? Because that's hurtful for anyone, have to go through all of that and still hold your head up and still look happy and still be there for other people. You choose to live this victorious life. How did you choose not to go into the pity party, but to continue to press forward?
Absolutely. And that's actually what was shared in this book. There are seven principles that God used to pull me out. Seven principles that kept me focused on who God is in the middle of all that. Because the devil loves to give us some myopia, where we focus on the one thing that's not working, and just, lose sight of the goodness and faithfulness of Almighty God. And the first thing that the enemy attacked, and the first principle that God told me, was the principle that we have tremendous value. Everyone listening to us today is precious to Almighty God. And it doesn't matter what life throws at you, your Heavenly Father values you and loves you. And of course, the enemy came at me with all kinds of things. That, like I said, I had been very vocal against divorce, and I couldn't believe that I would be on the other side of that now. Plus being a leader in the church and in many other areas, a leader at work, it was challenging. The enemy tried to attack my value. What do you have to say now? What are you going to tell all these people? Who are you to be talking anyway? You should be quiet in a corner. Look at your life. This has not worked out. But the Lord spoke fierce and powerful words of love and compassion and acceptance. The Lord told me that I belonged to him. The Lord told me that he was jealous over me. He told me that, he covered me during that season of my life, and that I had tremendous value, that my value did not spring from my marital status. And if marriage did not qualify me, it could not, divorce could not disqualify me. God qualified me, and I was perfect in his sight. So it was really the first principle that got me to refocus on who I was and separate myself from my circumstances. See, that's the thing, the divorce that we need to have in our own lives, between our who and our do. As Christians, we tend to associate and identify ourselves by our do, but God wanted to affirm me in my who I was in Christ. That identity was grounding for me. And it was really, a change in perspective, and not letting my circumstances define me, or other people define me, or the society define me, but my definition flowing from God Almighty, my Heavenly Father. So that was the first principle. And the second one is that, God has given me the power to be a son of God. I have authority to rule. So if the enemy comes to accuse you, whatever you're going through, and tell you, look what happened there and there, absolutely not. Stand on your authority, because listen, it's not your good works that got anything that God gave to you. Mm-hmm. It is the finished works of Christ. I am standing in the finished works of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with what I did or didn't do. And so, that was one other thing that the Lord really drove home to me at that time, to stand on the word of God and not to give the devil my power. You see, that's what he was truly after. He wanted me to surrender my power to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, All of that sounds well, but was it easy for you to do all of that? Because I know, this is really good Christendom and discipleship, but was that easy for you to do?
Oh no,
To
I
understand.
again in my other book I told the story. It was a harrowing time for me. I went through torment that I had never, emotional torment. And just first of all, it was hard to believe that God would allow that to happen to me. Like I said, I grew up as a Christian all my life, really, literally. And I have served God passionately. I have loved God. I have prayed. And in my mind, I thought that things like that didn't happen to people like me. That God would not allow me to go through that, that He would protect me from it. Well, He didn't. So right there and then, I had issues of trust with God. And I began to think, if God will allow this to happen to me, what else might He allow? So for the first time, I had lived as a very confident and fearless Christian. For the first time, doubt and fear crept into my relationship with God. I wasn't sure I could trust God anymore. I wasn't sure that his definition of allowable was okay. This was crushing to me, and somehow God thought that it was okay to let this happen to me. And I also felt that it was obedience to God that got me here, because there were things I could have done earlier to about my marriage, but I chose some things according to the word of God, and I thought that's what landed me in this place, and God had abandoned me. So it wasn't easy. It was a very tough place to be. And I can go on. There are so many layers of that story of how tough it was. It was tough going to church because, unfortunately, there are people in the church who say things, who talk about things that they don't know. And during this period of time, everything in me wanted to run away from church, wanted to go to a place where nobody knew me, where I could sit quietly, go to church and not have to deal with this. But I refused to run. I refused to do that. I continued to. Sometimes it was just everything I could do to get up and go to church on Sundays. And so, because some of the people who were involved in all the transactions and things that happened with my ex, sometimes they're waiting for me at the door of the church. So I'm coming to church and they're confronting me, and I'm having to, walk through some of those details and pick up the pieces and then clean up the mess that was made. So it was very tough. It was tough for my kids as well, because people would corner them, and instead of coming to ask me questions, they would corner my kids at church and ask them and barrage them with questions. So they felt, besieged, and I felt wounded in the church. And I can go on. There are many layers of how it was not easy. But God has not called us to easy. We are anointed for hard. It's during those times that things are hard that you see the power of God made manifest. And sometimes you go through things that are hard and you make it look easy, not because of your power. Apostle Paul said that, in my weakness, God's strength is made perfect. And that's really the experience that I had during that time.
Amen. That's such a powerful testimony, because when I think of some people who have been through difficult situations like yourself, they choose. And this is why I love the title of that book, Choosing a Life of Victory. They choose to live a life of defeat. They choose to harbor and to hold on to that insult that took place in their life. But one thing you said was that there were people that were waiting on you, depending on you. And it really struck a chord with me when you say that, because you now not thinking about you and your pain, but you're thinking of others who are waiting so that they would be able to accomplish, what God had for them. And you were that agent or that instrument that God was using to help them. And I'm sure from what you went through that was like a testimony to them, which probably made what you were saying to them so much more effective because you had a story. That really, really touched me. And I love that. I love the book Choosing. And as Vivelyn said in the beginning, it's a choice. It's not something that falls on us. Is I get up in the morning, I choose to get out of bed. I choose life. I choose death. I choose negative things or I choose positive things. I really love that. And look at you now. If they could see you now.
If they could see. This is
well, they are seeing her. She's I'm trailblazing way ahead.
Yes. This is all the goodness and the mercy of God. I truly am a trophy of God's mercy and God's grace. But it has taught me a lot. I'm telling you, one of the things that I've grown volumes in compassion and seeing people through different eyes, through the eyes of grace and through the eyes of mercy, God's mercy and compassion. And what I went through, God is now using to really heal people, like I indicated. Absolutely. And Vilma, that was exactly what you were saying. My other book, Where the Story is a book on wholeness, kind of talking about how God brought me to wholeness. I can tell you that book is ministering to so many people. Just this, during the quarantine, A Single Faith, which is a huge organization, you know, used it, the book and the companion study guide, you know, throughout to help to walk their singles through a path of wholeness. And the testimonies are just amazing of what God is doing with that book and reaching the lives of so many. And it's because it was birthed in my pain. My pain has become a serum that God is using to heal other people.
Well, before we end today, I want you to hold that book up also, along with, I didn't hold this up, but it's behind you in your picture, just in case our audience wants to see this particular book of truths and the life of victory. And I want you to hold up the other one, Wholeness, that they can also see that. So periodically, you might have to hold that book up too, that people can see it. And then at the end, we will tell them where they can able to get a copy of both books. So go ahead with principle three, if you want to.
Absolutely. Principle number three is that God gives us the ability to create our world. We live in a world that makes us feel like we are powerless, but that's far from the truth. If you are a child of the living God, you have the same power that raised up Christ from the dead living inside of you. And that power is dunamis. That's the Greek term for that power. It is dunamis. It is explosive power that's within us. And we can release this power through prayer, and we can release this power through faith-filled words, particularly when we speak the word of the living God. It is amazing what the word of God does. There's nothing as powerful in all of creation as the word of God. When you think about it, the whole of creation was put together by the word of God. Then that begins to make you understand the tremendous power that resides in the word. And so when we speak about ourselves the same way that God speaks, and when we speak about ourselves what God says, it can transform our lives. We change our lives one word at a time. So beginning to, and many of you guys can relate to this, Vivian, you remember, during that time, I determined that when people asked me how I was doing, I would not complain. I would not tell them what was going on. I would just say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. That became my banner, you know, confession. Everybody knew me by it. In fact, last Christmas, you gave me a gift with that inscription. And, you know, Pastor Nancy gave me a gift with that inscription because everybody came to know me with that saying, it is well with my soul. Because I determined that I would not speak and give the devil room in my life by the things that I said. My words were my words, and I will use them to build myself up and to proclaim goodness and blessing over my life and the lives of my children. And looking back now, God truly has made it well. That proclamation is not a speech for, it is not a word for wimps. When you see the person who wrote the hymn, it is well with my soul, and his story, you know, Horatio Stafford, it was just an unbelievable story that paralleled the story of Job in the Bible. And when he wrote that, which is why that song continues to heal and help people over the years. And another woman that is one of my favorite women in the Bible is the woman of Shunem. The Bible said that this Shunammite woman, she lost her child in the middle of the day in a tragic, what might be a heat stroke, but she did not sit around and wail. She was not into histrionics, not at all. This woman packed up and went after the man of God. And even, you know, when anybody asked her what's going on, she said, it is well. And guess what? It was well for her, right, and her son was raised up. So being able to speak life is such an incredible thing. And in fact, this is what I have in my third book, Fight to Win, with prayer and proclamations. We live in a culture that has almost a death orientation. Even when we're saying positive things, we say it in a way that is so destructive. We say that we love people to pieces. We love them to death. I mean, things like that is so miserable. I can go on and on. The whole vernacular of American culture is death oriented, and that's wrong. The only reason why people don't kill over and die immediately, they say things like that, it is because they really don't believe it in their hearts.
Exactly.
God tells us not to talk like that. So harnessing our words and deploying it is really one of the third principle here. And I can stop at any time, Vivlin.
Mm-hmm.
But the fourth one is that my sonship is my key to the supernatural and to engage with God in the spirit. God is a spirit. The Bible is very clear. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, many Christians want to relate to God in the physical, in the natural, and touch him with our five senses. And you can't. God is not to be touched with our hands or eyes or ears. God is a spirit. And so to relate with him, we must be willing to engage him in the spirit world, which is his world. Mm-hmm. And how do we engage him in the spirit? The Bible says that the word of God, Jesus said in John 6:63, the words I speak to you are spirit and life. When you engage with the word of God and when you get into the spirit world and speaking, you can speak spirit, you engage with God. Every day God is looking for those who worship him. Vilma, you and I thought this, right? In spirit and in truth. He's always looking for that. And today we are three women right here who can say, God, over here, right here, you can find three women who are willing and ready today to worship you in spirit and in truth. So engaging the spiritual is so important. Again, our society is so on people. There's a lot of discussion around the spiritual, but it's not a Christian kind of spiritual. It's not the biblical type of spiritual. Mm-hmm. And many Christians really, we need to learn how to engage God in the spirit.
I'm learning from you going through these as well. It's not just for a listening audience, but I'm also taking in everything that you are telling us. And what I want to encourage those who are listening, write these principles down because they work. So please write them down and go back over them and, you know, apply them, not just write them and put it down, apply them. There is somebody, a living testimony before you who is saying they work. So that's my encouragement.
You know, there are not only one living testimony, there are three living testimonies. Because for those who are listening to us, the story of Vilma is in this book and the story of Vivlin is in this book as well.
Well, we're not going to talk about those.
I know, but I just want them to know it's not just my story, because the reason these principles are powerful is that they didn't just work in my life. In this book is a compilation of stories of real human beings, and two of them are sitting in front of you here, three of us together, who these exact same principles worked in their lives. And so if you buy this book, you're going to see Vilma's story and how she overcame, and Vivlin's story. We all have stories, and it's all the common thread in all our stories is the power, the mercy, and the goodness of God. And three of us today are living witnesses and trophies of the powerful name of Jesus Christ to break every yoke and to help us to walk in victory.
Amen. 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 And as our listening audience know, you hear what we're talking about. She always want to put the spotlight off her to somebody else. That's how she is. But anyway, I love her. But she's always trying to shine on somebody else and don't want it to shine on her. But, you know, she is powerful.
I love you too, Vilma. But this is the truth. I'm just telling the truth. Praise God. God, another one that really struck me, one of the principles is really that God does not want us to settle for less.
Mm.
And again, you know, what's going on in our culture now can beat people down so much that you just settle for where you are. But our God is an awesome God. Mm-hmm. Our God is big. He is big, and he's looking for somebody who would believe him for big.
That's
you
know, right.
And so God does not want us to settle for little. He wants us to believe him and to reach out. I think some of the biggest tragedies are individuals who settle for where they are because they never even tried.
That's right.
I mean, can you imagine that, finishing your life and finding out that you were not able to do the you know, most of what Jesus planned for you to do because you were so afraid? And that's where
I have a friend who, she met Miles Monroe. I think it was Miles Monroe she said she met. And he said, he prayed a prayer over her. And he said, "You should die empty."
Yes.
And we, you know, thinking about that, we never really think about that, that all the things, the gifts and the talents, sometimes we allow fear to stifle us, or not to take a risk, not to take a chance, and to step out and to just do one thing. Like with me, you know, one thing, I like to stay in the background. I don't like to come forward. But this was a stepping thing for me to do a video on Zoom, you know, but we need to just step forward and stop putting God in a box. And that's why I think that principle is so true. And so well, and that's why we're making you continue with the principles, because they need to get fully all seven principles that you have in the book.
Absolutely. And again, another one is that God will not release authority and dominion into the hands of children. Many of us want, people might be listening to today and they want what you have, they want what Vilma has, they want what I have, but there's a price to whatever you have. There's a price to pay. And the heartache and the pain, people don't want to go through anything. They want to have you lay hands on them and somehow transfer the anointing and get a double portion. You know, it doesn't work that way. There are things that you can only learn in the valley. There are things that I have learned, and I had been working with God for a long time. There were things that I've learned in these seasons of my life that I could not have learned any other way. And you learn to quieten your mouth. One of the things that you learn is to shut up. To shut up and just be, and let God be God.
Let God talk.
Yes, and stop all the talk, because those who keep talking, my father used to say that when you see a young man who is going around and saying, "I will never do that, I will never do that," that he's not married, because if he was married, he would do it and would tell nobody about it, because what his wife wants him to do. So a lot of the people who go around talking, and that's one of the concerns I've had with where our culture has been and with the elections and all that, there's so much talk, there's so much rancor, and we shouldn't be there. We should be very guarded what we say with our mouths. If you've gone through things, you're not quick to judge, you're not quick to condemn other people, because you know that, you know, there, but for the grace of God, go I.
Right, right. Can we explore, before you continue, Gloria, that principle number, that's four? I think it's principle number four, about God not putting into the hands of children. Say that again. Can we go a little bit more into that?
Absolutely. The Bible tells us that, you know what, that a son, as long as that son remains a child, there's no difference. Galatians says that, Galatians 4, there's no difference between that child person and a slave. And you guys have seen that, you know. I grew up in a culture where we had maids growing up, and the maid had more authority than the kids, because the maids would tell the kids what to do, even though the kids owned the house and, you know, they were the kids. But this is really what the Bible is talking about, that when we continue to be children, when we don't allow ourselves to grow up in Christ. And by the way, growing up, you know, Apostle Paul tells us that it would involve eating meat. You stop drinking milk. You stop having the, you know, goodies, you know, and you can get into chewing and digesting tough, tough meat, including circumstances that don't work the way that you want them to work. Circumstances that go contrary to where you want to be and what you thought. One of the things that you learn quickly is to set aside what you thought and humble yourself before God and deal with where you are. And so that's one of the main things. If you're not willing to grow up, you will not walk in dominion and authority, because God loves you too much to give dominion and authority to you, because it will destroy you. And let me give you an example that will make, you know, drive this home. I have a grade school daughter. She's now learning to drive. I can't believe it. I can't believe that my daughter is learning to drive. I know. But imagine if when she was like 5 years old, even though the vehicles, you know, that we have, she has access to them. The keys are there. If I gave her the key when she was 5 years old, because she's my daughter, and because she wants the keys, I would be an extremely irresponsible mother, because I knew that she didn't know how to manage that vehicle, and that she was going to make, it would be, you know, just disastrous to give her the vehicle. It's the same thing. God loves you. Right now, there's no difference in the authority that I have as a Christian and the authority that you have listening to us. It's the same Holy Spirit, the same power. And when you become a child of God, at that minute, God qualifies you. So nobody has more than the other. But the thing that makes a difference is growth.
Amen.
Understanding who you are and knowing how to use those tools. So growing up is critical. As you grow up in Christ, then you can deploy the authority and power that God has given you. It's delegated authority. You can use that for the good of the kingdom and for the glory of God. But if you're not grown up and you go out, the enemy is going to be very mad at you. If you read Acts chapter 19 in the Bible, you will see a couple of young men who went and found a man who was, demon possessed.
And
they were the sons of a high priest. And they figured, well, we saw Paul casting out devils. We can do that too. I think that's pretty cool. You want to do it? They said, yeah, we want to do that. So they went and found a man who was demon possessed. And they told him, we command you to get out of this man, you know, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul is preaching. You know, in law, that was secondhand evidence. That was hearsay evidence. They say, we command you to leave because Paul is preaching about this Jesus. Now, listen, that demon was ticked off royally. That demon says, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but you, who are you? And the Bible said that the man that was possessed with the demon jumped on them. One man beat them up, all of them thoroughly, tore their clothes, and they ran away naked. So when God tells you to grow up as a child, he would not give authority to you because it would be destructive. Vim, I can go much deeper, but I'm respectful.
Right. No, that's good. That's good, because sometimes, you know, you skip over it, but giving the real examples, create a better understanding. And as you mentioned that, I thought about giving explosives to a toddler.
Yes.
You know, and that's what came into my mind. So, and sometimes when God withholds some things from us that we are praying for, and we are wondering, God, why aren't you answering me? He's saying, you are not ready. Yes. You know, you are not ready for what you're asking me for. So let me hold it until you are ready.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that is the mercy of God. There are some things that God, there are some what we call unanswered prayers that we look back and we're like, thank you, God, because I was asking for something that I thank you for giving me what I needed and not what I was asking for. And there are so many examples in the Bible. Look at Mary and Martha. They asked Jesus to come and heal them, right? Heal their brother. And Jesus didn't come when they called him. And they were mad. They were spitting mad because Jesus was their friend. And that was not very friendly. They called him and he did not show up until Lazarus died. But you know, they were asking for healing. And Jesus came late by their timeline and schedule for healing. But Jesus had a completely different thing planned. He was planning resurrection.
That's right.
And he came late by their timeline, but he was just in time for what God had planned, a miracle that was just amazing, that blew the lid off of, you know, and what God did was amazing. We're exceeding abundantly above what they had asked or thought. That's what God did. And sometimes God says no to our request, Vilma, to your point, because he wants something much better for us. And I'll say the last one is, I don't know if I've talked about sons of God refusing to settle for less than God's inheritance. And sons of God have manifestations. Jesus said to us, behold, I give unto you power and authority, mm-hmm. you know, to tread upon serpents and scorpions. There is a pattern of sonship. That pattern is in the Bible. Jesus is a pattern son, and God wants us to emulate that pattern. When I was growing up a long time ago, I hope I'm not dating myself here, but we used to, you know, people would, if they wanted to make, it's not even when I was, if you read, I watch a lot of Westerns. That's really, I'm trying to find where this came from. I do like Western movies. And in those days, people didn't have all these department stores. They would get clothes in patterns, like paper patterns, and they will place right. the pattern on the cloth, and they'll cut it, and they'll make the clothes. Mm-hmm. And that's really what Jesus is. Jesus is a pattern, and God wants us to emulate that pattern, to be the way that Jesus is. You know, the Bible said that if the devil knew what he was doing, he would not have crucified Christ, because at the time that he killed him, there was only one Jesus who mm-hmm. was limited in a human body. But now when Jesus died, guess what? Immediately all over the world today, there's an explosion of sons of God all over the world, terrorizing the devil every single time. He was trying to contain one Jesus. Now there are millions of Jesuses all over the world. And that's really what sonship is. God wants us to walk in the pattern of sonship. And sons have manifestations, meaning that there is evidence in your life of your walk with God. There has to be evidence that you walk with God.
Right. You yeah. talked about name change in this book also. I don't know if you spoke to it about the wholeness, but I guess I didn't get up a copy. I thought I had a copy of all your books, but I guess I don't have the one on wholeness. But, well, I will get. You talked about name change. Go further into that about, you said something about changing your name and come into that identity in Christ. And, yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. Our identity in Christ is that we are sons of God. Every single person who is born into the family of God bears the name of God. We are really surnamed by him. And he sees us with his name. We bear his name. Apostle Paul said, let nobody disturb me because I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There is an insignia that is in us in the spirit world. In the olden days, they used to put marks on cattle. And sadly, even in human beings, when this nation had the disgraceful history of slavery. But the Bible makes us know that when we walk with Christ, we do have a mark. We do have an insignia in the spirit that marks or that separates us, that identifies us as belonging to God. And he gives us his name. The Bible says that he has surnamed us. We are sons and daughters of Almighty God. We have his DNA. We have his authority and power. So that's really reflective. I don't know whatever your name is. The thing is, you bear the name of God. And I've been in circumstances where I've looked God in the face and said, listen, nobody knows my name. Nobody cares about my name, but I bear your name. Everywhere I go, I represent you. And I want you to be jealous over your name. And for your name's sake, arise and do this. And God, the Bible says that he has exalted, the name of Jesus is higher than every other name. And at his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes. So whatever your name, whatever you are, I want you to know that you bear the name of the Lord and you represent him in all you do.
And that's important to know that we have the DNA of God, because mm-hmm. People don't realize that because we have it. He said that he made us in his image and in his likeness. And because we have his DNA, that we can able to proclaim a thing and establish a thing. And that's why sometimes as Christians, we don't understand the authority and the power that we have within us. And I think you mentioned that in one of your principles about mm-hmm. the power that we're able to understand that we, you know, and I love the fact that you have so many declaration and proclamations, because that's important to proclaim who we are. And in situations mm-hmm. and when circumstances come our way, we need to proclaim what we want to see, what we want to pray for. Like people say all the time, oh, I'm broke. Oh, I don't have any money. But we should be confessing what we want to see versus, you know, what we think our reality is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Vivian, you are so correct. And I was thinking about, you know, God when at the beginning, when he was creating the world. The Bible said that the earth was without form mm-hmm. and void. But God didn't say what he saw, which is what you were saying, right? People, many times we use our words and we describe our circumstances. But what God did was completely different. He began to speak what he wanted to see.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He said, let there be light. And by the end of that chapter, he had entirely transformed everything within sight from the chaos and the darkness that it was originally to the beautiful earth that we live in today. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. We can change our worlds one word at a time by speaking not where we are. If you keep saying the same things, the Bible says that you shall have what you say. Mm-hmm. Jesus said that very clearly. You shall have what you say. So our mouth, you can literally be hung by the tongue. And that's what's happening to so many people, being hung by our tongue. So I just wanted to emphasize and agree with you there.
Mm-hmm. So if we're following the example that you just gave, instead of saying I am broke, and to our audience, we are trying to get you to change your language or how you speak, then we say, let there be money in my pocket.
Amen. Or you can go to the scriptures, right? The Bible said that Jesus was made poor so that we can be rich. You can, there's so many scriptures that you can take, and the scriptures is a bag of seed. Anything you want to grow in your life, take that and sow that into your life. So think about, you're talking about finances. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It said that Jesus was made poor so that we might be made rich. Mm-hmm. It says in Ephesians 1:3 that God hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And I can go on and on, so many scriptures in Peter that says that God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So when you begin to speak those words over yourself, and if you're somebody who brings your tithes and offerings, you can go again to Malachi where God says, you know, that he will rebuke the devourer and that God will provide, he will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So there are so many things that you can say with your mouth, you know, that is very different, that will produce a different report and a different result than keep, you know, saying I'm broke, I'm, you know, I have no money. If you keep saying that, you're not likely to change your circumstances. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You keep having no money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, as you, it sounds, and I don't want our audience to think that you arrived at this position or these principles just overnight. And I'm sure it took some getting to. How can you encourage those who are listening to develop the habit where they can totally rely on these principles? What is it that they have to do to make that relation, or I won't put the words in your mouth, but to make these principles a reality, that's what they fall back on first, rather than something else, and then get to these later?
Thank you, Vilma. That's a very good question. Really, I think I want to encourage you to deploy the power of a made-up mind. Mm-hmm. You can never underestimate the power of a made-up mind. And what do I mean by that? Determine in your heart that you are not going to walk away from what you believe. Mm-hmm. I am a lost cause to the devil. There's nothing he's going to do to me to make me walk away from Christ by the mercy and grace of God. And so you have to be at that point where nothing is going to move you. You have made up your mind that as long as you have breath in your nostrils, as long as you have your head on your shoulders, you are going to serve God. Now, that doesn't mean, like I've explained, and I didn't even go into all the, any, you know, a quarter of the details of the amount of sometimes pain that you would go through, that God will allow you to go through. Grueling circumstances. I work out. I do work out a lot. And one of the things that happens is when you do that, you know, your muscles, the resistance builds your muscles, builds strength. So strength doesn't just fall on you like rain. It is built, it is developed mm-hmm. over time. And where do you start? Make up in your mind that you're going to live a life that honors God, period. Don't make excuses about it. Don't have any caveats around it. You have devoted your entire life to live a life that honors God. I mean, that's, and it's not a once and done. It's a commitment that we renew on a daily basis. I'm sure that Vivlin and Vilma does that. You don't make the decision and then the devil leaves you alone. No, you make that choice every single day. And one of the things, by the time we end, I want to talk about the word choice and what that means and how that would empower you, you know, to walk a path that you choose, make up in your mind, and the God of heaven will back you up every step of the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you should just go ahead and talk about choice because, you know, I think you should just go ahead because we have to make that decision to choose. And that's very important for us to talk about right now.
Absolutely. Choices are really like steps that take you up the ladder, that take you out of any situation. It's one choice at a time. We don't like to make those choices. We like things to happen miraculously, you know, and I'll give you an example. Somebody got into debt, you know, and now they're in debt all over their, you know, heads. Guess what they would like? They would like God to miraculously, you know, zap the debt and make them debt free. But if God were to do that, even though that would, you would love that, you will get right back into debt because you have no mm-hmm. discipline. You haven't learned how to be a good steward of what God has given to you. So even if God were to immediately erase all your debt, I don't know that that's going to be very helpful for you because you're going to be right back where you started. So God wants us to make choices and he has empowered us. That is the one thing that distinguishes us mm-hmm. from all of God's creation, every other creation of God, the power of the will. We can deploy our will just like God can deploy his. And that's how God made us in his image. So mm-hmm. do not allow anybody to tell you that nothing is unchangeable, that you can do that. In fact, when you hear that, that should make something go off within you to rebel against that restraint and to say, I truly can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How do you do it? One choice at a time. Maybe I should say one painful choice at a time, because that is truly how it is. And if you, we have to be truly honest with you. So you don't think it's all a bed of roses. It is not. But it's one, putting one foot in front of one another mm-hmm. and making the right choices that would get you out. Now, a year like this and the one that we had, you know, 2020, is a year that really makes you think, wow, do I have any choice at all? And of course, last year, one of the things that we learned was that we were not as much in control as we thought. There were some things that we found out that we did not control. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we also found out that there are some things that we do control. And that's what we're talking about. And what we do control is your choices. I'll give you an example. During this time of quarantine, Vivlin went back to school. And she's now a certified event manager. That was a choice. She could have sat home and bemoaned the year, right? Mm-hmm. But today she has a certification that she can deploy. It's just the power of the choice. Some people are waiting for the government or for miracles to happen to them from the sky. Mm-hmm. That is not the way. The government is not your salvation. The government is not where your help is coming from. I love Psalm 121 that says, we lift up our eyes to the hills.
Yes.
Where comes mm-hmm. our help? Mm-hmm. Our help comes from the Lord who made the heavens mm-hmm. and the earth. Another choice that you can make that's within your control is what we just talked about, the power of your words, deploying mm-hmm. that on your behalf. And it starts with your thoughts. Changing how you think is the first place to start because as a man or woman thinks in his heart, so mm-hmm. is he. Mm-hmm. And as you know, this year is a year when choices make the distinction. In prior years, you know, like they say, a rising tide lifts all boats. So mm-hmm. people were in a booming economy, you get the overflow just by being in the economy. But in times, in a year like this, in a year like last year, that's what separates people from others. Because those who know how to make choices can make the right choices to move themselves forwards. While those who don't know how to make the right choices will stay where they are and they would actually go backwards. So don't think that this is a year to just sit around. No, it is in years like this that you can deploy the power of your choice to truly transform your life and to move you to where God wants you to be. And one choice that we can always make is to say yes to God. Amen. Yes to God every day that we wake up. Yes to the word of God. And that is the place to start, because the word of God contains the will of God for us, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to work out every day of our lives.
And it's not easy, but if you want, they had a saying in my country, if you want good, your nose have to run. And I like just looking back and listening to what you said about we want this miracle at all times, and miracles are good, but we don't need to live on miracles as a way of life, because if we follow some principles, then we don't need to get to that point. When the miracle is needed, it will come. And I remember this this poet, Longfellow, I think it was, that said, lives by great men, reached and kept, were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward through the night. And I think what I hear you saying is, in order for you to build this faith, you've got to work at it. You've got to exercise your from small steps at a time, but you have to keep going. And the choices are not going to be easy. They're not going to feel good, but you've got to decide in your mind that this is what is best for you. We have to leave some friends behind. We have to leave watching certain TV shows behind. We have to, you know, stop some conversations on the telephone so that we can prepare ourselves to get to the point where God can use us. So we spend time with him.
That's right.
So, you know, it's...
That's right.
You preach, Vilma, you go, sis.
It takes work. It takes work.
That was very, very well said. Very well said. And that poem was just beautiful as well. That was very well said. That's it. And the way that I think of it is really there are some gateways to my mind and to my heart. Mm-hmm. And I tell, you know, my daughter, we need to guard the access points to our hearts, because mm-hmm. that's where it starts. Your mouth gate. Your ear gate, your eye gate, what you let into your eyes, what you let into your ears. Many of us wouldn't let, you know, crazy naked people come into, you know, in the front of our doors. Mm-hmm. But we let them in through the TV. Mm-hmm. We watch that. We let it into our minds. And those images get in and they get lodged into our minds. And they're destructive images. And your mind throws them away. And then it uses that to, you know, it's useless. You don't need that. That's the kind of thing we need to guard the access points to our eyes and our ears and our mouths. And, you know, God would help us if we trust him, if we walk with God and we commit ourselves to him. He would help us to live the way that he wants us to live. And Vilma, to your point about miracles, I do not want to live by miracles. Mm-hmm. I really don't, because if you do, if you are waiting for a miracle, you're going to be in for a tough time, because constantly your life is going to be for one, you know, like a yo-yo. Because think of what miracles are. Miracles are supernatural intervention, you know. And so for you to have a miracle, like the story I told, Lazarus has to die, you know, for you to have a resurrection. That's what you're asking for. If you're asking for a miracle all the time and for God to deliver you, you're going to have a really, really tough life, because your life has to get so bad and so tough for God to suspend natural laws to help you. Listen, I don't want a financial miracle. I just want the grace to be a good steward of what God has given me, to manage it well, because I don't want the, you know, the pendulum of swinging from one corner to the other to look for miracles. Those who ask for miracles to forget the point that miracles happen. Miracles are supernatural, and they occur in extreme circumstances, meaning that you're willing to get into extreme circumstances on a regular basis to have a miracle. That's not what I'm looking for.
Absolutely.
You know, I want health. So I'm not looking for healing. I choose divine health. I choose prosperity the way that God ordained it, not looking to win the lottery, which I don't play. You know, I'm not looking for that. Rather, I want to be again a good, work hard, use what God has given me, build it up, because that is biblical. God has given us wisdom. And again, we talk about maturity. That's what maturity helps you do, to know how to be a good steward of the things that God has given you, to have the right mindset about what it is you're looking for in life and not wanting for a miracle. I do not want a miracle every day. In fact, I want to live a life that is based upon the principles of the Word of God so that I walk in victory on a continual basis, not on a miracle basis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bibeline, what's your last words?
Oh, man. Anyway. Well, this was really good. And we learned a lot, and we heard how to choose the life of victory. And it's very important for us today. And I love what you said about the DNA. I love what you said about, you know, choosing, making a decision, and especially what you just said about miracles. You're not living a life looking for miracles. You're not living a life looking for the supernatural to happen, because you put those things in place, practicing God's principle, practicing his word, and doing what he says with the natural laws of physics. You know, you're not going to go up a building and expect that if you jump down, you're not going to go splat. So you're basically doing the things of eating right, living right, guarding your ears, guarding your eyes, and doing the things that God requires for you to do. So I really, really appreciate you going over your seven principles and educating and informing our the importance of choosing. And I just wanted to know, any last thing that is pressing on your heart that you wanted to say that we didn't ask or you felt that you need to say?
No, I just want to thank you guys for the opportunity to be here. God is faithful. We are all trophies of his grace. And I have worked with you ladies for long enough to see many of the principles that I'm talking about manifested in your own lives. And I thank God for his goodness and his faithfulness. I am currently, you know, looking at the book of Nehemiah. Many of the things that we talked about here are just in the book. I mean, one of the things that strikes me out of that book is that you don't find any miracle in the book. There is no miracle. But this man was able to mobilize and rebuild the wall in 52 days. That in and of itself is just a phenomenal achievement. But he didn't do it because God rained, you know, something from the skies. It was just leadership principles deployed, and he implemented that, and he did the work. And, you know, in 52 days, what had defied decades, you know, of, you know, the walls had been broken down for such a long time. But he changed all that, the power of a made up mind. His mind was made up, and he worked and he achieved it. So those who are listening to us today, if you are a child of God, the Bible is very clear that there are two people that nothing is impossible with. The first is God. The Bible says that with God, nothing is impossible. And the second is you, because the Bible says that nothing is impossible to those who believe. So we can truly do all things through Christ. We can trust God to move in the power of his spirit and be all that he called us to be. Accept no limitations. Take the limits off. This year, 2021, shock yourself. Amaze yourself by the things that you're determined to do. Because I truly believe that this is a year of manifestation and enlargement. And God is looking for those who will say, yes, Lord, I believe you. And if you're one of those, let's move into this year and take everything that God has prepared for us. We will leave nothing on the table at the end of this year.
Amen.
Amen. So you're ready to be shocked? Ready to be shocked, Vilma? She said, let's be shocked. Are you ready to be shocked?
Oh, I put things in place. Yes. Yes.
Amen. Did you hear that? That's intentionality. She is intentional. She said, I put things in place. These things don't happen by chance.
No.
Yes.
No. So, Gloria, let us know how we can get a hold of your books.
Absolutely.
Get a hold of your books and also the book of Wholeness, please.
Yes. You can get this book, Choosing a Life for Victory, all my books. I have books, I have the Bible study, I have workbooks, on my website, www.GloriaGodson.com. Again, www.GloriaGodson.com. And on the website, you can listen to our, you know, radio broadcast. You can listen to the Grace Talk show that we do. You can also, if you need counseling, that's one of the things that I love, love, love that I'm doing now. We can provide counseling for you. Whatever you need, if you need prayers, we have resources there. So our website is the best place to get the books and connect with us.
Great.
Awesome.
It is such a pleasure, a fine, young Christian woman of God, author, mom, radio host, Grace Talk CEO, Facebook person. She has a lot going on her Facebook page, and also a lot things about prayers and proclamation and declaration. She's on Instagram. She is everywhere that it matters.
Oh, we forgot to mention her singles conferences.
And right, right. And she does a singles conference as well. And this is your third year?
Yeah, this is our third year, yes.
Yes, yes. So she has it all wrapped up neatly in a package there. So we
but she chooses to live a life on purpose.
Yes.
And I thank you, ladies. Speaking of the singles event, thank you, ladies, for your support. You've always been there, and I appreciate you.
We try to support our sister because, as it says, you know, iron sharpens iron.
That's right.
All right. So for those of you, remember, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us, our email address is livechatvivandville@gmail.com. You can look for us on our website. You can find us on YouTube. We're on Vital GH Radio. We are on Google Podcasts, Spotify, any, you name it, we are there. And we are appreciative if you check us out on one or two or three of these mediums.
Awesome. Well, thank you once again. And this is Life Chat with Vivandville. Goodbye.
Bye.